Depression is a sensitive topic, at least in our culture we live in. You know, we're in a culture with a lot of psychology, and we've got to work through things, through the Scriptures, to really figure out what is what and understand things correctly. So I guess I thought I'd start tonight by just asking this question. Who in here has ever gotten to a point where you said to someone else, "I'm depressed"? I know someone has to have said that. All right, Glenn, what got you to the point where you said that? Why were you depressed? If you're able to say. So he said it was when he was lost, but he wasn't getting his way, so he got depressed. So other than that being the reason for being depressed, not getting your way, what's someone else who's been depressed and it was over something different? Yeah, Javier? So loneliness. And in the midst of loneliness, you got to a point where you thought to yourself, "I'm depressed." Yeah, Charles? So he said, feeling a void, something's missing. I don't feel like something's right. Something's missing. I don't know what that is. Maybe I do, but I feel depressed. Well, when we think about depression, one of the hardest things to think about here is the fact of people's definitions of depressed. I'm depressed. If we took the three people right now who said they got to a point where they said, "I'm depressed," and we asked them, "Well, what does that actually mean?" It'd be amazing at the varying answers we would get. So that's something we've got to think about when we deal with this. Now, to deal with depression, where is the place to go to get truth to help us deal with this topic? It's not a trick question. It's the Word of God. Now, why the Word of God? Your good answer to that is, who created you? God. Okay. And you're the one saying that you feel depressed. Okay. So what manual is the best manual to see what's wrong with the car? What's wrong with you? Right. You know, if I have problems with my Toyota Corolla, I don't go get a Ford manual to look at the Toyota Corolla. I go get a Toyota Corolla year model manual to look at what's wrong with my car. You see, so we need to have the Word of God. I know that may sound obvious, but it's not. 2 Peter 1 says, in the Bible it says, you don't need to turn there, but His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Colossians 3 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So the Word of Christ, the Bible, has all wisdom. And it's easy in our culture to think that, well, men and these scientists are able to come up with the greatest wisdom. But again, God created us. If you want to go and find the greatest wisdom, it's going to be in the Word of God. It's not to say doctors and people out there do not have wisdom, but we dare not put men and what they come up through, even through their research, we dare not put that above the Word of God. Because God's Word is not research. These are true realities, and we need to think about them. So, what is depression? What does a person mean when they say, "I'm depressed"? What really is it? Well, it depends on the person, as I said. Overall, though, it's this idea of I'm being brought low. I mean, if I asked all three of you, said you're depressed, You could probably say in a way, I was brought low from being higher where I wanted to be. I wanted to be here. I was right down here because of I'm selfish, because I'm lonely, because I forget what you said. Emptiness, similar to loneliness. You know, depression, a lot of times when people say I'm depressed, it's just a feeling. There's a feel. They just feel something. And the word we express that feeling of lowness with is the word depression. You feel miserable, gloomy, unhappy, sad, dejected, downcast. That's a word we find in the Bible. Despondent, low, heavy-hearted. We find heavy-hearted in the Scriptures. We find downcast and low in the Scriptures. So when you think about depression, you can think about those words. You know, depression has a lot of words that are very synonymous with it. You see what I mean? Okay. Now, one thing to think about, when someone says I'm depressed, usually when they get to that point, it's not that they just feel a little low. They feel really, really low. And so people tend to use that word, I'm depressed, when they get to the bottom of the barrel, when they get to the very bottom. You know, higher up, I felt low, I get lower, 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 lower. All right, I'm really depressed now. I mean, that seems the way people do that. Now, turn to Psalms 42. We're going to look at this, and then we're going to look at two places that we find the actual word depressed in the Bible after that. But Psalms 42. I know one brother mentioned he was depressed and he was lost, but you know, it is amazing, not amazing, but as Christians, true Christians, we ourselves fall into depression. And so I want to give some helps on how to avoid it and overcome it. And a big thing we got to do that is think about it. What's going on, and what does the Scripture give us to help us? What wisdom do we have here to help us? So, Psalms 42, it's not David. If you look at the top of it, it says, To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. So let's read this. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is a person who's thirsting for God. Verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night. Why, they say to me all day long, where is your God? So you hear that? This person, they're hearing something being said to them by their enemies. Where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go to the throne and lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise. So he's remembering the church meeting in verse 4. Verse 5, look at this. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Well, stop there for a moment. You know what's interesting? This person is asking himself, why am I depressed? He's asking himself. And that's one of the first things we need to think about when we talk about depression and overcoming depression. You need to be able to ask yourself, why am I depressed? You know, it's very easy for someone to say, oh, I'm depressed, I feel depressed. Then you ask them this question, well, wait a minute, why are you depressed? And you get them thinking. You get their mind going, and they start to think to themselves, okay, why am I depressed? You know, okay, why am I depressed? I'm not really getting a good answer. Is this just all a feeling? Why? Why am I depressed? I said I'm depressed. Why am I depressed? So he asks this question. You know, what's one thing that happens when people get depressed? They just lie in their bed and do nothing. This man is not lying in his bed and doing nothing. What's he doing? He's sitting up out of his bed and he's thinking, wait a minute. Okay, my soul, why are you cast down? I'm cast down. I'm low. I'm depressed. Why? What's really going on here? So often the person who will not ask themselves that question is afraid of what they're going to find out. But we need to be very willing to say, you know what? What's going on? Now, yes, can we be too introspective? Sometimes people get depressed from being too introspective. But at the same time, we got to balance it out. You need to be introspective whenever you're depressed. Or else you're not going to get to the root of the problem. You're just going to go on feeling, well, I'm depressed, but you won't look and think, wait a minute, what's really going on here? So when someone says to you, I'm depressed, ask them why. And I realize if you're here tonight and you're struggling with depression, you probably wouldn't want to say anything right now, but I mean, is anyone depressed right now? You could ask yourself that. Then ask yourself, why? Why? You know, it could be one of the reasons these guys mentioned. Or it could be something entirely different. But we got to get to the bottom of this. So, why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you in turmoil with me? Now, look at verse 11 in this psalm. Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you in turmoil with me, within me? Then look at chapter 43, verse 5. Why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Now, I don't know why it has it there three times, but sometimes it takes us asking ourselves a question three times before we get to the bottom of it. Or it takes us answering that question three times before we really believe the Lord. Now let's look in this chapter. What does he do? What is his response in these verses? Look at verse 5. What is his response to his question? It's not even like he answers it and says, well, this is the exact cause of why I'm cast down. But what does he say? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Now look at verse 6. My soul is cast down within me, therefore. What does therefore mean? Well, therefore, because my soul is cast down within me, therefore I do something. I have a response. When I get depressed, there's got to be a response to my depression. What does he say his response is right here? I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Verse 11, his answer there again, hope in God. You look at chapter 43. Let's read verse 1. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me, for you are God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? I mean, sometimes that's what we feel like in depression. Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. And that's the Word of God is where light and truth are. Let them lead me. You see that? 43 verse 3. Let them lead me. What's a big thing that leads to depression? It's not ultimately always how you feel initially. You know what a bigger reason is? How you think. What goes on in your mind. I mean, a practical way to think about it is, okay, I'm on a boat, sun is shining, and then I think in my mind, this boat is about to sink, it's going to get hit by a torpedo. What does that do? Does that make me anxious? And if you're on a boat and you're thinking to yourself, it's about to get hit by a torpedo, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get anxious. Where did all that take place? In the mind. Now look what he says here. How does he get to a point where he says, therefore I'll remember you? How does he get to a point where he says, hope in God? Well, look, I mean, verse 3, he's saying, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. You know, one of the biggest things that's true of someone who's in depression and cannot get out of it, they're not letting the truth of the Word of God lead them. What are they so often letting lead them? The lies of the devil? Their feelings. He says here, let your truth and your light lead me. But Satan, who disguises himself as an angel of light, Satan who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour, Satan is right there bombarding you with lies. Remember 2 Corinthians 10? What did Paul say there? Taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. It's amazing. If, you know, say the example, I'm on a boat and it's just peaceful, and then I think, oh, there's going to be a torpedo hit the boat, and I start to get anxious. Well, if I know it's not true, a torpedo is not about to hit the boat, what do I do with that thought? Just let it sit in my mind and get bigger and bigger? No, I take that thought of the torpedo hitting the boat, and that's not true. I just ask the reconnaissance man. I like to have those in all the boats. But I just asked him, is there a torpedo about to hit the boat? And he said, no, there's not a torpedo about to hit the boat. Okay, that thought is untrue. I'm removing it. Guess what happens to the gloom, the being cast down? It lifts from you. So, Psalms 42, 43, we're looking at depression. How do we avoid it? How do we get help in the midst of it? You know, you think about those three words, hope in God. What does it mean to hope in God? Yeah, to trust in Him. When you think of hope, you could change that word and just put the word believe. Believe in God, as opposed to what? Believe in your feelings. Believe in the lies of the devil. I mean, it's amazing. Satan is there spewing lies. You know, he said he gets depressed when he's lonely. Well, what the devil wants you to believe when you're lonely? No one cares for you. That's ridiculous. Who cares for me more than any person ever will? The living God. Who says, no good thing do I withhold from those who walk uprightly. The devil's saying, oh, you're lonely. God's never going to give you a spouse. No, that's a lie, Satan. God says, no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. I just did verse 3. I prayed, Lord, send out Your light and Your truth. Let them lead me. So, believe in God. You know, Martin Lloyd-Jones in Spiritual Depressions, he said it well, and I believe it's consistent with the Scriptures. Ultimately, any depression, though there's a lot of things that can combine with what's leading to it, physical thoughts, inward things, it ultimately, if we stay in it, it's rooted in unbelief. It's rooted in not believing God. And that's not just with depression, that's with any sin. I mean, if you look at anything in your life that you just can't get out of, how often, what's the issue? We're just not really believing God. We're believing something else. So point number one, you ask yourself, why am I cast down? You self-examine, why did I just say I am really depressed? What is the reason? What is the reason? Okay, so I want to now look at some biblical examples where we can get some help with people who were depressed. And when I say help, ultimately the greatest help we're going to get is getting to the bottom of the root of the problem. So, turn to 2 Samuel 13. So when you ask yourself the question, why am I cast down? Why am I depressed? Why am I heavy hearted, O my soul? One of the answers we'll find a lot of the time is just because of sin. And sin in different forms. And we're going to look at one example right here. 2 Samuel 13. Let's see. Now Absalom's, start in verse 1. Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. And Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin and it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. So verse 4, skip to verse 4. And I'm going to read verse 4 in, what is this, the NAS. The NASB renders it the word depressed. Verse 4, and he said to him, O son of the king, why are you so depressed morning after morning? Now in the ESV it says, why are you so haggard? I mean, that's the same idea. Why are you downcast? Why are you brought low? The NAS renders it depressed. Why are you so depressed morning after morning? Will you not tell me? Then Amnon said to him, I am in love with Tamar, the sister of my brother Absalom. So answer me this. If you're Amnon, why are you so cast down? What's really going on here with this individual? Why is he depressed morning after morning, as verse 4 says? Okay, his desires. What about his desires?
They're bringing him to a certain place that he knows he can't really go.
So they're unmet desires. Yeah, I mean, verse 2, Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill. I mean, even look at that. He got physically sick. Physically sick, being depressed morning after morning. I tell you, depression can lead you to be physically sick, where it affects your body. Just like anxiety, you could get ulcers. Depression, you can make yourself ill. And yeah, what was it? There was this girl, Tamar. She was a virgin. It seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. And if you know the whole situation, to me, it's clearly this guy is lusting after this woman. There's a woman he's lusting after, and he desires her, but it seems impossible to get her. And that's why he's laying in his bed, depressed, morning after morning. There's something he idolizes, something he desires, and he can't get it. Well, what does Amnon in the end do? He uses deceit and lying, and he does end up committing fornication with this woman. And what happens after he gets the very thing he wants? Verse 15. Look at verse 15. Then Amnon hated her with very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he loved her. So, I mean, simply put, why was he cast down? He idolized a woman. It was impossible, it seemed, for him to get her, and he wanted her, and he couldn't get away with the fact he could not have her, so he lied in the end to get her. He went into her, and then in the end he hates her more than the, quote, love he had for her in the beginning. So, the point of looking at this is what? Again, verse 4, and he said to him, O king, O son of the king, why are you so depressed, haggard, morning after morning? Will you not tell me? And he said, well, it's because I'm in love with someone. And the fact is he couldn't get her is an unmet desire. So, what's the application? I don't know. I mean, are you a single person and desire a spouse? Watch out that you don't end up like him. I tell you, even when you have a legitimate longing for someone that's not some lustful thing, for his sister, even if you have a legitimate desire, it's amazing. That thing can drive you to a point where you're laying around in your bed every morning just feeling very despondent, very depressed because of an unmet desire. And that may be a very genuine desire. It's a good desire to long to have a godly spouse. That's not sin. But the key is, in the midst of this desire, do we keep it where ultimately, you know what, my hope is in you, Lord. Whether you give me the spouse or not, my hope is in God. Because if we put too much in this and it starts to seem impossible, oh no, I might not get a spouse, I might not get that person, then you just get depressed. Just like, oh, I wanted this thing so much, but I can't get it. So when it falls into idolatry in our heart, we can easily fall into depression. Now this goes hand in hand with Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred. You have a hope, it gets deferred. You know, it's kind of like you're hoping to go, whatever, to some restaurant. And you get to the restaurant and it says closed. Like, oh, I wanted to go to Chick-fil-A. I wanted a chicken sandwich and I went on Sunday. Now that's a very small thing. But think of it. Even in something that small, what happens when you get to the door or you drive and you see the parking lot's totally empty at Chick-fil-A on Sunday and you think, I forgot it was Sunday? There's a tinge in the heart where it's kind of like, oh, a little downcast. A little bit. And I'm glad we can laugh about that. But think that happens in larger scale things, and it's not just a little downcast. It can paralyze you. Hope deferred, put off, makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. You know, how often you feel depressed because you anticipated something to happen and it didn't happen. You know, think about it. What's something you anticipated to happen and you just had such a hope, oh, it's going to happen and it didn't happen? Anyone have an example? And it could be something small we could laugh at or something dead serious. I mean, even the small things are serious, but go ahead, Glenn.
And once I finally got it, I was so excited that I could drive my truck to school, and my mom told me that I had to have like straight A's to drive my truck. And I didn't know what happened.
I mean, did you get depressed? I mean, think of this. If he said he found out he got his license, and then his mother said you got to get straight A's before you can drive to school. Well, you know what? Think about if he had a hidden desire of, I want to drive my truck to school for this person to see me driving my truck. Now, if he had a desire that expanded, you know what? It'd be a lot more easier to fall into serious despondency. But again, what's the issue in situations like that? It's sin. You can't, you know, oh, why am I cast down, oh, my soul, and look at it and say, I mean, you should look at it in a situation like that and just be disgusted. It's like, wait a minute, why am I so cast down over not being able to drive a car? I mean, is my hope for joy today in driving a vehicle? Is my hope for joy today in Chick-fil-A? Is my hope for joy today fill in the blank? So, you know, sometimes you get low because you had a desire and you got it, but it wasn't made out to be everything you thought it was going to be. I mean, has that ever happened to anyone? You know, it's amazing. Even Charles Leiter, when me and Bethany, we had like one time that we marriage counseled with him. And he just even told us in marriage, he said, don't be having some, you know, great anticipation and some fantasy about marriage. And just build up perspective where it's just something. Marriage is great. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying it's not. But you know what I mean. You get something so built up out of reality. And then you get the thing and you realize, oh, this isn't what I thought it would be. You know, it happens when we buy cars. We picture them better than they are and they turn out to have problems. I realize that's small, and depression is a serious thing. I don't want to make light of it. But, you know, so often these littler things, if we don't handle them right, they compile, and we just fall into something greater, deeper. So, Proverbs 12:25. Now, before we read this, think real quick. Who, if you looked back at 10:1, it says the Proverbs of Solomon. And I say that because we want to think about the verse we're about to read. Who wrote it? Solomon. Remember, what did Solomon pray for? An understanding mind to govern your people. And God gave him that. This verse we're about to read, this is from a man who had more wisdom than anyone on earth, apart from Jesus Christ. God gave him that. So we should listen up, right? We should. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Now the New King James, it uses a word synonymously there. It says this, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. So think about this. What does he say here, Solomon, this man incredibly wise? What does he say one of the causes of depression is? I'm not saying it's the only cause. I'm saying it's one of the causes. What is it? Anxiety. Now, what's a problem we deal with anxiety in our generation? So often, what is anxiety not being called? It's not being called sin, right? People just don't want to call it that. There's a lot of things called respectable sins that people don't want to call what they are. Impatience, self-pity, bitterness. I mean, even unforgiveness. But anxiety. Anxiety is something people don't want to call it what it is. Well, right here he says anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. So what is anxiety? It's worry about something, right? I mean, have any of you guys ever worried so much about something that you just got depressed? Nah, none of us have. That's beyond us. No. I mean, how many times does that happen? Now, again, what's at the root of anxiety? Unbelief. Because what's anxiety saying? Not trusting the Lord. It's very simple. I'm anxious right now because I'm not trusting the Lord about this thing. You know, there's this symptom that I could have cancer. Oh, I'm really anxious. What am I? Ultimately, I'm not trusting the Lord. Lord, if I have cancer, you're the one who's given it to me. Because you create calamity and darkness. You're God who does all these things, the Bible says. You're the one on the throne. So what's at the root of anxiety? Unbelief, fearful, fretful, anxious, in doubting God in tough circumstances. What does Paul say? Do not be anxious about anything. Well, that's not helpful, Paul. Just telling people not to be anxious, that doesn't leave them anything to do. Well, Paul isn't in there. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, small, big, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Okay, I'm letting my request be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's what Philippians 4 says. So Paul gives us something we can do. You know, what does the proverb say? Anxiety in a man's heart causes depression, but what makes him glad? A good word. What's a good word to make you glad when you're anxious? Matthew 6. Oh, Lord, you care for the sparrows? Wait, Lord, you clothe the lilies? You mean those weeds out there in the Grace Community parking lot? You clothe them? And they just blow away? They last for 10 hours? And you care for them? Oh, Lord, you care for me. And what does he say in Matthew 6? Oh, you of little faith. I mean, how often? That's the issue. We just don't have faith. We're not believing God. What did the psalmist say? Hope in God. Believe God. Believe God. You know, what happens though when you're really depressed? What's one of the hardest things for you to do? To do what Philippians 4 says. To let your requests be made known to God. I mean, the times where I've been in what I would consider the deepest depressions I know, prayer becomes very difficult. Just crying out to God. Again, why? What roaring lion is prowling around me? The devil. What thoughts are in my mind that I'm having a hard time working through? There's lies from Satan. Just like the psalmist said, what does he say? The enemies are saying, where's your God? Where's your God? You're a Christian. Where's your God at? Look at this tough trial, Job. Where'd God go? No. Where's God? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and He takes away. But my wife is saying, curse God and die. No, even if the Lord slays me, I'll hope in Him. That's what Job said. You know, Jeremiah, I believe. The Lord told him, your wife who is precious to you, I'm going to kill her tomorrow morning. And the very next morning came, and he woke up, and God killed his wife, making a point with it. And he rose, and he said, I did what I was commanded. He did what he was commanded, and he just followed the Lord. That's one of the hardest things to do. That's not easy. The easier thing is to be anxious, to not cry out to God. You know, that's why you've got to ask yourself when you're depressed, why am I cast down? Because then when you start to see, it seems like this is why, you kind of get something clear that now you can take this and make a request be made known to God. Lord, I'm cast down and depressed right now because I just got fired from my job. And I see that's the clear reason. And the being fired from my job has made me anxious now that I won't have the money to provide for my family and they're going to starve. I won't pay for the bill and we're going to be cold. Lord, I see that's the reason. Because right when that happened, I got fired, I got depressed. I wasn't depressed before I got fired, and now that I'm fired, I got depressed. So that must be the reason. I wasn't depressed before my family member died. Now my family member died and I'm depressed. Something with my family member dying is what brought me so low. Lord, I have a request that you'll help me in the midst of death in a family, that you will help me to hope in you, that this wasn't an accident, that the lies of the devil are not true. You do love me. You do have my good in mind. You've got to wrestle like that. So, what peace guards our hearts? The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It's not the peace of good circumstances. It's the peace of God. There's a difference. We feel peace in good circumstances. But there's a greater peace that surpasses understanding that can be yours even in the worst circumstances. Even when your physical circumstances are bad. Like my father-in-law, Bob Jennings, dying of cancer. Double that, there was problems in the church. Triple that, his oldest son at the time was not a Christian. He got all these things, and yet Bob, for the most part, had a consistent peace. Why? His peace was not in good circumstances. But in a way, all our circumstances are good circumstances because God's the one who puts us in our circumstances. And that's why Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Why should you give thanks in all circumstances? Because all circumstances are the will of God. Do you believe that? If you don't, you're going to get really... You're going to have a hard time in depression. You're going to have a hard time when you get cast down if you don't believe that truth. And the devil's right there. Where's God? Where's your God at? Didn't God tell you this and now this is happening? God's a contradiction, is what Satan's saying. And then it doesn't help if you're Job and you have people coming in who are saying truth but they're wrongly diagnosing you. And Job's friends were telling Job things that did not apply to him. And that's even something to be careful with depression. You know, when someone says, I'm depressed, it's not like you just beat them over the head and say, well, you're in sin and unbelief, repent. We need to work with people. We need to have them ask themselves, well, why are you cast down? Let's get to the root of this. Let's think about it. What's going on? What's happened that's led you to this point of being downcast? So, there's peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That's John 14:27. It's one thing for me to look at you and say, don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. But imagine Jesus Christ looking at you and telling you that. And there he does, right there in John 14. He looks us in the eyes and says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. So, you know, as I was studying on this topic, one guy, I don't agree with what he says, and I'm about to say it. It's a pastor says this. He says, the church has used pray and read your Bible more is a cure for anxiety and depression for far too long. Okay. Why has the church used pray and read your Bible as a cure for anxiety and depression for the last thousands of years? Why? That's how you abide with Christ. More importantly, That's what the Bible says. I mean, why would the church be telling people these things? Now, I realize part of this guy, what he means is some guy sits down to you. He is so depressed. You can't enter in. You can't relate. You're just kind of like, what's going on with this person? And you just say to him, well, go pray and read your Bible. Yeah, maybe that's what he's referring to. Yeah, we need graciousness. We need gentleness. But we're, you know, Philippians 4. What's rather being anxious? What do? I pray. Psalms 42, 43. Why are you cast down on my soul? What happens in the midst of this? Therefore, I'll remember God. I'll read my Bible and I'll remember who God is. I mean, that sounds like the Bible tells us to do those things. Now, Martin Lloyd-Jones said something helpful. When Christians have come suffering from various forms of spiritual depression, they have been treated by other, often they're treated by other Christians, or they're treated by other Christians to a thumping slap on the back and the suggestion, pull yourself together, cheer up. But that may do more harm than good, because it is one thing which the poor man cannot do at that time. And I know I already mentioned that. It's hard to pray when you're really depressed. But I guess my encouragement to all of you is this. The next point you face any depression, whether it's up here or way down low, remember this study. Remember these verses. Remember the thing to do is to go to the Lord, is to seek help. For us Christians, next time we counsel someone who says they're depressed, yeah, I can't just go to you and say, pull up, get yourself together. There's not a lot of compassion in that. Is there a time to rebuke someone? Yes. But let me really dig in with them first. And then if I'm digging and I'm asking questions and it's like, okay, everything they're saying, it makes it very clear the reason they're so downcast right now is because they have an idol and they're not getting it. Well, then I'm going to say it like it is. I'm going to try to help them and give them honest truth. So, we have 15 minutes. I think there are like 7 more pages, so we're not going to get through with all this. Okay, one reason of depression. Luke chapter 10. Let's go there real quick. Luke 10. You know, sometimes I'm cast down when I listen to a sermon. One of the reasons is because I don't understand some sermons. And when I'm hearing it, I feel low inside because I don't even understand what's being said. I just thought of that. But it's amazing the things that can get us low, depressed. Now, what happens here with Martha? Luke 10, verse 40. Verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to Him, to Christ, and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Now, I know we go to this passage time and time again, but it's very helpful. I know we did a study on self-pity last year. I mean, one thing that happens here, Martha, she feels self-pity, sorry for herself. Lord, don't You care? I mean, I'm working and here my sister is sitting to You, reading her Bible and listening to You and praying to You. Why isn't she getting up and helping me? But Christ rebuked her and said, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is necessary. The point of looking at it is this. You know one thing that leads Christians to depression is busyness. Busyness, even in things that are good, But it keeps us from the one thing that is more necessary, which is who? Jesus Christ. We find this same thing with Moses in the Old Testament. He was greatly burdened. And remember his father-in-law, Jethro? Jethro came to him, what, Genesis 18, and he basically said, this load is too heavy for you. You need to get people to help you out. I mean, when's the time you've overcommitted? And has it not led to being depressed? To being cast down? I mean, have any of you guys ever just committed yourself way too much, you didn't have the ability to tell someone no, because in pride, I didn't want to let them down. I'm going to say yes to do these things. And then you have 20 things to do and you just get depressed because of it. Has it ever happened to anyone? It has to me. And it did to Martha right here. Anxious, troubled about many things. Yet she was missing out on Christ. You know, the thing to do when you overcommit, the thing to do in busyness, it's to turn your cell phone off, get away from your emails, and go and be alone with the Lord. And get the things out of your mind that you've got to go do, and just say, Lord, help me. I want to do the one thing that is necessary. So, we've got 10 minutes. Well, sometimes you get depressed because of a loved one's foolishness. You don't need to turn there, but Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. I mean, think of that. If you're my daughter is only almost two, but imagine having an older child and your child just does something really stupid. It's very easy to get low, to feel depressed because of that. Cain in Genesis 4. Cain, you know, he brought an offering. The Lord didn't pay regard to his offering. Cain was very angry and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? Basically saying, why are you depressed? He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. You know one of the big things that leads people to be depressed and downcast? They didn't perform as well as they wanted to perform. Whether that's in preaching, whether that's in making a meal, whether that's, you know, throw out examples. What's something you got low because you didn't perform as well as you wanted to do? What's something you got? You got an example? So I need more examples. Yeah. Yeah.
So you do all that hard work thinking that, like, oh man, something good is going to happen, but then
yeah,
you get back, it's like, oh no, it's not going to be able to happen.
Yeah.
You have to let them down.
Kind of like Cain, too. Think about the person you prepare something for a loved one and they get home. They clean the house really good. And they get home and they pay no regard to how well you clean the house. You know, Jason cleans the house. And he's just like, oh, I spent all this time cleaning the house. And Glenn gets home and he doesn't even notice. He just pays no regard. I mean, Jason inside, it's like, come on, man. I just offered all 5 hours to clean the house. And you don't pay any regard. Again, that's small. But those things happen. They're real. And you know what? You could get so depressed because of rejection in some area, you could start to think about suicide. I did something for them, no regard. Why don't I just kill myself? I shouldn't go on anymore. But what's at the root there? You performed, you did something, and it didn't get the praise. It didn't get the recognition. It didn't get accepted as you wanted it to be. That's rooted in self. I mean, selfishness, well, what's, I mean, yeah, so much of this is rooted, yes, in sin. Well, what did he told him in Genesis? You've got to rule over it. You know, rule over it. It made me think of writing something out. When you don't get any recognition for what you did, rather than get depressed and feel low because you didn't get anyone's praise, you cross that out and realize, I don't need that. I don't need praise from men. What did Paul say? Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? If I'm seeking the approval of man, I'm not a slave of Jesus Christ. So why is depression so often viewed wrongly? A low view of sin. Look, we're running out of time, but yes, we have to balance things out. I mean, practically, okay, think about this. We read here, say with Amnon. He had a desire, it wasn't met, and he got physically sick. So he first, as it said, was in his bed morning by morning. He was just getting depressed, and it led to physical sickness. Okay? And a lot of times, physical ailments, physical sicknesses, that makes us really vulnerable. I mean, have any of you guys had the flu in the last month? Anyone had the flu? That makes you vulnerable. Probably none of you had cancer. If you get cancer, that makes you vulnerable. Physical sickness, that changes the way your body works. You absolutely feel very vulnerable. And it's all the easier to fall into depression. But we still can't look at that and say, well, I had a reason to fall into depression. I have cancer. I have a reason to feel hopeless. If you're a Christian, no, you don't have a reason to feel hopeless. If you've got cancer, you've got a reason to say, like Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain. You got a reason, like Paul, to say all things are working together for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. Another thing that Christians can be depressed. Why was David depressed in Psalms 32? Why was the Lord's hand heavy upon David and his strength is dried up as by the heat of the summer? Why? Unconfessed sin. But David acknowledged his sin. He didn't hide his transgression and the Lord forgave him his sin. That's a reason so often we get depressed. 2 Corinthians, let's turn there really quick. 2 Corinthians 7. We're talking about physical affliction. I mean, one man who had physical affliction was Paul. Seven, verse 5. For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. Okay, you're not getting a lot of sleep. I don't know about you, when you don't get sleep, that can be hard. But we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. So fighting without meaning there is physical opposition on the outside from people, and fear within. What do you mean, fear within? Well, fear on the inside. I mean, we all know what fear on the inside is. A fear, how's this going to turn out? You know, our brothers were just in Iraq. I mean, think of the fear. You know, is someone going to get me? So, no sleep, afflicted at every turn, fighting within, fear without. Now look at verse 6. But God, who comforts the downcast, or some versions render it the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Now, first thought from this is what? Notice what he says here. But God. And how does he describe God? He describes our God as what type of God? Who comforts who? Yeah, the downcast, the depressed. I don't know about you, but that's really good to find out. You want to know one characteristic of the living God who we believe in? He's a God who comforts the depressed. So when Satan tells you God isn't going to comfort you, that is a lie. Our God comforts the depressed. Comfort. I mean, who knows what comfort is? Comfort is so glorious. Whether it's comforted from a truth from the Bible. But how did they get comforted here? What does he say? Comforted us by the coming of Titus. Wow. He got comforted by a person. He got comforted by a person. Now, obviously, when a person comes to you, they don't just come to you and say nothing. Now, they may say nothing like Job's counselors and wait 7 days. But people comfort you with words. You know, you're depressed. God, comfort me. The Lord sends a brother in the church. They say, I feel like you looked really down. What's going on? Well, a family member just died. And they're able to give you truth. They're able to work through the clouds because you just have a cloud. It's just like, I don't understand what's going on. And that's how we feel when we get depressed. And there comes Titus. And Titus comes and it says in verse 7, not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he comforted, or he was comforted by you. So Titus was comforted by them and then he comforted them. Now turn to chapter 1 in 2 Corinthians. Turn to chapter 1. So, chapter 1, let's look at verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. Okay, Paul, tell us about this affliction. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Whoa, wait, who's writing this? Who wrote verse 8? Paul? You mean Paul, the apostle? The mighty apostle Paul? Interesting. We despaired of life itself. Verse 9, let's go on. It's got to get better. Indeed, we felt we had received a sentence of death. Ah, Paul. Why'd all that happen, Paul? What's that word? He says, but there. Why? Because he's going to give a reason why it happened. What's the reason? But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Wow. You mean I despaired of life? I felt like I received a sentence of death. And your reason for bringing that trial upon me was to make me rely on you? I'll tell you, one of the big reasons depression comes is to drive you to God, to make you rely on Him. And what's one of the big reasons we fall into depression and stay in it? Because we don't go relying on God. We go rely on all other sorts of things other than the Lord. What does the psalmist say? Why are you cast down on my soul? Hope in God. Rely on God. Verse 10. God will deliver us from such a deadly peril. He'll deliver you from such a deadly depression. And He will deliver us. Why? On Him we have set our hope. Same thing the psalmist said, hope in God. He says, on Him we've set our hope that He will deliver us again. Then he goes on. You also must help us by prayer. So again, here in chapter 7, he helps them by who? Titus. And here he says, you also help us by prayer. Brethren, if any of you ever get depressed, you better not be too proud to go and get help from people. It is a lame excuse to say, well, I'll just deal it and work it out with God. No. Titus, God used him to comfort them. Right here, he said he asked for prayer. There's a blessing granted through the prayers of many. Again, we got to be willing to open up, to dig to the bottom of our depression when we fall in it, when we get low. So this passage has always amazed me. The first time I read 2 Corinthians, I was just blown away. Paul said he despaired of life itself. And then he gives the reason for it being to point us to rely on the Lord. I couldn't believe it. Well, who will deliver us from such a deadly peril? He said right there, God will. On Him we set our hope. Some closing applications. Paul Washer said this. He was asked when he was at Tim's house 6 years ago, Tim asked him, what were some truths from Jay Adams that helped you in overcoming depression? And one thing he said was this, instead of letting my heart preach to me that I ought to preach God's Word to my heart, and stand on the realities of God's Word rather than feelings. Look, when you get depressed, your feelings, what are your feelings instantly going to be doing? They're going to be preaching a sermon to you. That's a sermon you want to hit the pause button on and you want to eject. I'm serious. And you want to take that disc and you want to crush it. And you want to take the disc of the Word of God and you want the Word to preach to you. I mean, here our brother Paul Washer is, esteemed brother, respected. And he got to the point where he realized, I'm not doing that as I should. And a lot of times we know I need to do that, but we don't do it practically. Again, because when push comes to shove and we're thrown into depression, it's just cloudy. Hit eject. Another thing Paul said, another thing that I think was very helpful, so many things that would cause us to pity and coddle a man. Instead, so many things cause us to pity and coddle people. Rather, instead, the man should be rebuked because he is believing a lie. So many things where we treat ourselves as pitiful victims when in actuality we are guilty criminals, and just facing that with the Word of God and repenting. Look, that's true. I mean, honestly, if I look at my own depression and the times I've had it, it's hard for me to point one time where the issue was simply it was sin. And I need to rebuke myself for sin. And there were times I couldn't even figure out that it was sin. I just wasn't understanding it. I mean, I would come to church as a new Christian. A certain person wouldn't talk to me and I would get depressed. And at the time, I couldn't word it like that. I just thought, I feel down. But then as I looked at it, okay, why am I cast down? I started to realize, interesting, I get cast down when that person doesn't talk to me. Okay, what's going on? Huh? I'm idolizing attention from that person. And when I don't get it, I have a pity party and suck my thumb like a baby because I didn't get my way. And I was able to rebuke myself. So, so much more we could say. I mean, there's so many other things. You know, one verse that is helpful to memorize is Isaiah 26:3. Does anyone have that memorized? It's an intimate friend. Do you have that? You keep them in perfect peace. Perfect peace. I want that. You keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, on Him. Okay. Perfect peace. First thing is what? Mind on the Lord. Okay, that's hope in God. You keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him because you trust in Him. Okay, so reverse it. I trust in the Lord. Who I'm trusting in, my mind then comes on. And as my mind is on the Lord, guess what happens? Perfect peace. That verse is helpful. You know why? Because you can take it and you can reprove yourself with it. Okay, I don't have perfect peace right now. Why not? Okay, the verse says, you keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Well, my mind is not on the Lord. My mind is on all my anxious problems. My mind is on my feelings, like Paul Washer said, because you trust in Him. Trust. Wait a minute. Trust. I'm not trusting in the Lord right now. I haven't even thought about acknowledging the Lord and not leaning on my own understanding. I've been too busy leaning on my own understanding. Oh, Lord, that's why I don't have perfect peace. I didn't trust You right there. Lord, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to put my mind on You. And You've told me You'll keep me in perfect peace. Wait, who keeps me in perfect peace? I keep myself in perfect peace? You, Lord, You said You'd keep me in perfect peace. Notice who keeps you in perfect peace, the Lord. And ultimately, that's who we're totally cast upon, is the Lord. So, are you low because unconfessed sin, believing a lie, not casting your cares on the Lord, overcommitted? Are you not getting enough sleep? Do you have physical affliction? Are you overly introspective? Or are you unable to find any direct cause? Well, if you're unable to find a direct cause and you say you're depressed, go press on for Christ and stop thinking about your depression. And you'll find it will flood away, Lord willing. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart, a joyful spirit in our inner man is good medicine. Well, I know it's getting a little late. I hope something in all this was helpful. I mean, there's so much more that could be said. There really is. And so even if anyone has any question or something, you can email it to me. And we could even talk about these things more next week. But Martin Lloyd-Jones said something that was very convicting. You know, a big reason in his book, Spiritual Depression, he really exhorts Christians to live in joyful lives and not depression, because he said it speaks of something to the onlooking world. If you bear the name of Christian and the lost world look at you and you're just always downcast, you're just always depressed, you're always low, what does the lost world think? Huh? That's what their salvation provides? I don't know if I'm really interested in getting that. Now, that doesn't mean if you lack joy or you, in your temperament, you're just kind of not expressing joy outwardly. That doesn't mean condemn yourself. But it's something to think about. When you're downcast, pray, Lord, give me more joy. I don't want my lost family to see me depressed. I don't want my kids to see me depressed. That'd be horrible. If I raised my children and they saw Dad at home and just all the time Dad was full of gloom, my kids would not be thinking, boy, I want to follow Jesus. But if you're full of genuine joy, not some superficial flaky thing that's just a mask you put on, your kids will see that. Wow, Dad's joyful when our house burnt down. Whoa, what's going on? Dad got diagnosed with cancer and he's praising the Lord? What? I want to serve His God. I want to serve His God. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray that You would help us to hope in You. Lord, I don't know if any brother or sister or anyone here is feeling depressed. Lord, even that very word, feeling. Depressed, those two words can mean a billion different things depending on who's saying them. Lord, I just pray You'd help. I pray You'd give us more joy. Joy that Christ went to the cross for us, that Christ bore our sorrows in His own body on the tree, that Christ came into the world to seek and save sinners, that Christ says, come unto Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, I pray if anyone here is heavy laden, Lord, even though they feel like they can't go to You, even though the devil says you can't go to God, Lord, You said, but You are the God who comforts the depressed. Lord, we have a God who comforts the depressed. We have a God who comforts the downcast. Lord, I pray You would comfort them. Lord, even there, that very verse, but we have a God who comforts the depressed. Lord, it says You're the God who comforts. You do the comforting. You do the hugging. Lord, You do the soft embrace. Lord, I pray You'd embrace anyone here who feels depressed about anything in their life. Lord, that You'd help them in the midst of the cloud to hope in You, to trust in You, to believe You, to take you at Your word. Because, Lord, You never lie and You'll never put us to shame. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.